519.
Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadet. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Hello and welcome to Global Talks with Zena. I'm back again this month and I'm going to be introducing you to an incredible lady, an innovative lady who is in fact transforming our world of healthcare, or because of it anyway. So today's show, we are talking all about the Zenith Global Health Awards. I'm going to find out all about that. And I'm now going to introduce you to the founder and director of Zenith Global Health Awards, Mary Akambi. Welcome.
Hi, Zena. Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Mary. And thank you for coming on this day. Thank you. I think it's going to be a fantastic show because we're going to be talking all about Zenith Global Health Awards, which is something amazing that you created. You're the founder, the director, and I'm excited to know even more about this. You're living in London.
Yes.
But you also are living in Nigeria, is that right?
Yes, so I'm originally from Nigeria, and our work span over the whole of Africa, Europe, so, you know, always between the continents.
Yeah, and so you're based in London,
the UK,
which is the venue for the next awards, which will be at the end of September. So, first of all, before we continue talking, let's take a look at a short video all about London.
Yeah, the amazing place.
We'll take a look now.
Yes. Let's do it.
Collaboration, partnership, teaching, training, and shared learning. This year in the UK, our Global Health Awards and Summit will happen on the 27th and 28th of November. This is our first hybrid event since COVID, and we're so excited. We invite you to join us by clicking the link below and register to attend the event. Also, on the 20th of September, we will have our award ceremony to celebrate and recognize the groundbreaking work that healthcare professionals do from across the globe. Nominations are ongoing, so please feel free to nominate an amazing group, team, institution, organization, or individuals making a difference in health and social care. With over 10 categories, I believe we've got you covered. So please go now, nominate, and join us both at the summit and to celebrate excellence in healthcare. We look forward to having you on board.
We're going to be saving the date throughout the whole program. So for our audience, throughout the program, we are going to give you as much information as we can, where you can access the website, social media platforms, and so forth. So, Mary, before we go into the second quarter, where we're going to get into the nitty-gritties about Zenith Global Health, tell me a little bit about yourself, which led you to this point.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm so excited and looking forward to the rest of the show as well. I'm originally from Nigeria. I trained in Nigeria, actually, as a nurse midwife. Then I came to the UK in 91 and trained as a theater nurse. After that, I got really interested in innovation. Then I trained as a anesthetic nurse and specialist nurse in keyhole surgery and robotics. And that, you know, you advance over the years as, you know, we innovatively go into health technology, blockchain, and the rest of it in healthcare. Yes. So it's safe to say I've grown up with the world of innovation and technology in health, which is my passion.
Yeah.
Doing all of that puts me at the forefront, where we do master classes, we train people from all over the country and from across the world as well. Then the insight into the fact that in healthcare, we do amazing things, but we do them in silo. What can we do to bring everything that we do together, have a platform where we can share, we can collaborate, we can learn from each other, and in doing so, bridge the global north global south divide and foster health equity. So that was how Global Health started. And in meeting all these amazing people, I've been involved in transforming health in Africa for about 15 years as well, in teaching, training, upskilling. So in doing all of that, we met some amazing people. Again, we realized that in healthcare, we don't sing our praises like our colleagues, our creative colleagues. So we started the award ceremony. And the purpose of that is to look around. We encourage people to nominate because we cannot reach everybody. Find people who are doing great things, either individually or as a group team, across healthcare, not just a group, across healthcare specialties and institutions, and then showcase them so that other people can see, be encouraged, and know that no matter how difficult it is, you can still achieve greatness. It's possible. So that's how the Global Health Awards and Summit came about 8 years ago, almost 9 years now. Next year,
Yeah.
And then in 2020, we were invited to do the same thing in Africa based on my work around Africa as well. So next year in Africa will be our fifth year, and we go to different countries. Yeah.
Interesting. So currently, where's your main focus amongst African countries?
Yeah, so this year we've just come back from Ghana, and we've been, what we try to do is to cover, you know, the whole of the regions. So we've done West, actually we started in Nigeria, of course,
yeah.
And then we've been to Zambia, to Senegal, Ghana. Next year we're going to an island called Cape Verde. And so the idea of being in a region is so that the people in the surrounding countries can, you know, showcase their work, can attend the summit, and then can, you know, participate in the award ceremony as well. So that
when we're in a certain place, we give maybe 3, 4, 5 other countries the opportunity to be part of what we're doing. And we've been fortunate that some of our people in our network from UK, US, UAE, they go with us to Africa and vice versa. But we believe that we'll be able to reach more people, showcase more people on the global platform if we move closer to them.
Fantastic. So currently the emphasis is, I guess, particularly West Africa.
Yeah.
And then am I right that over the years you will start to spread eastward to Central, East Africa and South Africa region?
Yes, Central Africa. Yeah, we have. Because that's the idea that we, and another thing is we have partners from, you know, across the continent, and so we can always partner with them either for knowledge sharing or even for the summit and the awards.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. So currently the interest in Zenith Global Health, well, obviously they're global, strong in the UK, strong in the USA as well?
Yes.
Or is already strong in the USA?
Yes, so in the USA, we're building our network because we've had participation from people from the USA over the years. And so we are building our network. We haven't actually been fully established there, but we've got our foot in the door, we've got partners there, we've got our network expanding there. And yeah, it's something that we probably will look into in the future, you know, to establish
the relations
there.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. So what I want to do, in a few minutes, we'll have a short commercial break. And then in the second quarter, I would like to talk more about the Somerton Awards and let people know a little bit more about how it operates. Mm-hmm. So, of course, this year, already the awards, the Africa Awards took place in Ghana. That was in Accra. And I wasn't there, but my friends were there, and it was a fantastic experience, a fantastic event. We can tell people, you know, a little bit about that. And then we can talk how these awards operate, because I think it would be something really helpful for people to understand them. And the one thing that I loved when I first discovered you, and I was almost instantly wowed. I thought, well, this is amazing. I mean, there are all sorts of events like this all the time. But I was just drawn in to Zenith Global.
Yes.
It was how it was described as the health industry version of the Oscars. I thought that was brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just think, you know, in life, don't we need some razzmatazz? And it creates... well, it creates exposure, doesn't it?
Yes.
So the awards and the ceremony, and also I think it would be very good for us to talk about what the summit is all about.
Yes.
Because that was something at first I thought, well, what's a summit? Well, is that the award? Oh, no. What we will do is get into the nitty-gritties of how this is structured so that people can get a much stronger impression of how it's operating and therefore how it's expanding.
Yes,
that'll be the next part. I think what we will then do in the quarter three, we'll go on and talk about the London Awards, because we've got a lot to say about that, haven't we?
Yes, oh yes, please. I mean, it's nearly upon us, so
It's a lot to say, a lot to do.
And you've been doing a huge amount of work. I call you the globetrotter. Because you're always everywhere. On a plane or somewhere. I do know how hard you work. I think you're incredible. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
So, what we're going to do now is go into a commercial break. When we come out of the commercial break, we are going to start talk about the Global Awards, and we'll perhaps focus on the Ghana event in Accra. So
okay.
That we'll talk about.
Definitely. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah. See
brilliant.
You.
See you in a minute.
Yes.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating, empowering, interactive conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Gathering of the Griots with Asada. Wednesday, Repairing Family Relationships with Naima and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Veggie Brunch Live with Angela. Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Global Talk with Zanna. Second Saturday, Walk in Your Divine Authority with Mama Joy. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. Fourth Saturday, be a judge on the virtual Teens, Tweens, and Tots Talent Contest. And fifth Saturday, join us on location as we conversate at the Elevate Cafe under Jackie Brooks. Sunday, join us 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Go to thefemalesolution.com to join us on our video or audio live streaming platform. Listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in on the Blog Talk Radio Network, 515-605-9325. Or call in and comment on the on-air radio network, 727-731-5192. We want to hear from you.
Welcome. Urine leakage? Gentle Bloom gives you confidence without cost. Long hours of protection. Absorption zone. Elastic waistband provides comfortability. Helps you lead an independent and active lifestyle. Discreet protection. Odor control. Gentle Bloom provides an extra dry system with wetness indicator. Available in sizes medium to 5XL. If you're a care home, pharmacy, hospital, or a medical wholesaler, please reach out for quality without the cost.
Welcome back this time.
Admiral Nelson Bay.
And I think we're back on.
Yes.
We are. Oh, so here we are in quarter two, and we are going to talk about Zenith Global Health Awards 2024. So you've already explained that you operate two annual awards. One is in London, which will be this September, and the other is in Africa. So the continent of Africa is huge. Each year, I can't remember, is it 4 years now?
Yes, 4 years now. So next year will be our fifth year.
Next year is the fifth year. So the first Africa Awards was in Nigeria.
Nigeria, yes.
Then the second was in
Zambia.
Then the third was in
Dakar in Senegal.
Senegal.
And then this year was in Ghana, Accra. Now, you didn't know this, but I gathered some of the photographs, which I thought were wonderful. And it wasn't actually myself. It was my lovely friend, the father, who put together a little slideshow of the event. So let's just take a look.
Oh, wow.
Because I thought it looked wonderful.
Yeah.
So the Venice Global Health Awards and Summit was held in Ghana, in Accra. Tell us about the event here.
Yeah, so it was a two-day event. Day one, we had the summit, and that's usually what we do. The idea of the summit, again, is to bring people together, and then we talk about issues affecting our world in healthcare. So we talk about non-communicable diseases, we talk about pandemic preparedness, we've talked about health system strengthening. This year, our focus in Ghana and also in the UK will be health equity access with a focus on one health approach. Because, and that's largely because we've been talking about climate change, we've been talking about different things that affect health, and we just feel that, especially in the world where we now have AI, we have different kinds of technology, and we still need to connect with the people who probably will not have access to AI and technology, or it will be new to them. We believe it's necessary for us to come together, share ideas, and have a plan to embrace everybody and ensure health equity, so that, you know, it's not one-sided or some people are left behind. So that's the focus of the summit. And since COVID, we've been having virtual summit in the UK. But this year, we're going to have a hybrid, which is what we normally have. And at the summit, we invite people from all walks of life, all walks of healthcare, every specialty, depending on the topic, even like as well as healthcare financing, because we need money to make health happen, you know. So we invite different people with different skills and experiences to come together. So that's going to be happening this year in the UK. We're having a physical, like, hybrid event a day before the award ceremony.
Yeah, fantastic. Let's just quickly hold on the event in Accra, Ghana, because I think that this health equity access is something that, I guess, it's relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah.
Within, what would you say, the last five, for me, the last 4 years is something really that I've been able to relate to. I don't know how further back it would go.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. It's just that, and that's another thing for us at Zenith Global Health, sustainability is key. We always make sure, even if there's any collaboration or partnership that happens in our within our network in any of our events, we make sure that it's sustainable and fit for purpose. So it's been around for some time. It just happened that people use the word without actually harnessing it together with where and how it should be. But now, with various things that is happening in our life, especially around the world, we now know that we cannot take equity for granted. Especially if we want to achieve the sustainable development goals that has been set, you know, for 2030, which is just around the corner, to be sure that universal health coverage is what it is. I think that's something else that's been around for a long time, under which equity was. And so people were using the term universal health coverage. And, you know, the real issue with that is health equity. If there's no equity, we cannot have, you know, universal coverage. With universal health coverage, there are different aspects and different projects, you know, everything points to what health equity as well.
Were there any specific projects that kind of were more magnified at the Ghana summit?
Yes. So still on equity and what has affected our world, like climate change, like, you know, diseases, we believe that health should be available and accessible. Because it may be there, but people can't access it. So they should work hand in hand. So one of the, normally we'll have like a plenary session, then have five sessions, depending on the topic, and then we'll come together again. So one of the plenary sessions, we address climate change and antimicrobial resistance. And on the back of that, we were invited to the World Health Assembly to take part in a round table focusing on this issue, because it's a global public health burden that I wouldn't say it was overlooked, but it wasn't given the attention that it needed, and now it's escalating globally, but most especially in Africa, where we have other issues happening. But the thing is, if we do not focus, deal with, address, and solve the issue of antimicrobial resistance, for instance, it will affect every other thing. Because even the non-communicable diseases, they are exposed to different things, and they need antibiotics. So we need education, we need solutions, you know, and awareness into this issue. So that's something that we are now taking to another platform to continue to address. So that looks like something that we're going to be involved with for quite some time, as well as workforce development. So those are the two issues that, you know, we focus on right now, amongst other things, and they work with different partners on that.
Yeah. So which of the I don't know how you call it. Which of the industry groups that you would hope become more involved with this from the stage?
Right. So when we talk about antimicrobial resistance, for instance, historically, it's been led by pharmacists. Because, of course, they are the custodians of the medications and drugs and everything. And so the onus then would be on the manufacturing industry, you know, to even get up to the stage where we put warnings on antibiotic packages like we do on cigarettes, and then support initiatives and projects that will highlight this issue and also provide innovative solutions, sustainable solutions that will reach everybody, not just the 1% of the
1%. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, it's all of our business. It's like climate change, you know.
I guess it's a subject and a topic that's perhaps not exposed enough people.
Yeah, you're quite right about that. It's not exposed enough. And interestingly, and I was amazed and happy at the same time when in Geneva, somebody asked this question about, can we describe it as a pandemic? Because it's actually on a larger scale than anybody can imagine or think, unless you're working with them. I remember in Nigeria, I first spoke about it 12 years ago. And when you look at 12 years to now, you know, it's a long time. And we are making progress, but not in the level that we should have made it. Good news is that in the last year or so, everybody's come on board this issue globally and across Africa, actually, to advance it and to work collectively to, you know, to address it. So it's something that we need to talk about more within healthcare professionals, policymakers, and patients, and, you know, family members too. You know, if anybody that has the knowledge, let them be an advocate of the dangers of antimicrobial resistance, the dangers of misusing antibiotics, and also the effect with and everything, especially this, there's the economic impact, there's the psychological impact, and there is also the physical impact, because once you develop this, it's difficult to treat the infection or whatever is happening, and then we then need to move on to a more potent with little or no results.
Yeah.
So if we know to, if you are prescribed something for like 5 days, take it for 5 days. But although we know that it's easier said than done, in some parts of the world, they may prescribe something for 5 days and they can only afford to buy a 3-day worth of medication, right? Or the other issue is, oh, it's okay, I've got some at home, if that's all you are prescribed. So there's lots to do. And incidentally, what we find as well during that roundtable was that some areas, everybody's doing well on awareness, but some areas are doing well in addressing it. Some areas are not doing so well. Some areas are doing well in bringing it to the forefront, and then there's the research and development as well, which, of course, needs a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a big part of this education, do you think? Because do you think most of us, just the normal people, we don't really have enough, is it information? We don't have enough education, maybe?
Yes, there's not enough information. And frankly, you said it before, it's not given the attention and the focus that issue receive. And it's interesting that we address this issue with climate change, because I remember when we started that, I'm thinking, what's the correlation? But in the end, we were able to find the correlation. And again, when we look back at 3 years ago, everybody was paying lip service to climate change, our environment.
Yeah.
But then we begin to see the real impact globally and closer to home as well. That's why now everybody's aware, you know, I do my recycling, I'm mindful before I do something, you know, and it's everybody's lives, and in that sense, we become our brother, sister's keeper. We need to get AMR to that level as well, where people are mindful. It's not easy. Even as an healthcare professional, sometimes you think about doing something that will, you know, that may lead to AMR, but you may quickly check yourself because you know the implication. Like, I've had a very, this bad cough that is not going in my chest, this and that and that. Oh, yeah, I can have antibiotics. No, you can't. You know? So education is needed, and it needs to have the attention, actually real attention. Oh, I did not finish my my conversation. So when the question was asked, it's such a public health burden that it could be qualified as a pandemic. The answer was that it is on pandemic level, but we cannot refer to it as pandemic because it's caused by various microorganisms. Something, an infection of something can only be pandemic if it's caused by one. So, but the fact that they admitted that it's at that level was an eye-opener, and I think it's something that we need to, you know, do more on to, you know, to bring the awareness to people.
It's how to do more, isn't it? It's difficult, I would imagine.
Well, again, let me go back to climate change. It's difficult, but it's doable. I mean, even our children are concerned about climate change now because they know that, you know, actually in Ghana, and I'm not sure if it's in that slide, one of the people in the panel, on the climate change panel, brought like a countdown timer. And it was actually real countdown timer on what will happen to our world in 5 years' time if we do not actively do something about climate change. You see? So it's difficult, but it's doable. Now everybody is aware, our children, everyone is aware. So if we put that, you know, put our focus on antimicrobial resistance, for instance, and we give it the same attention and exposure and focus and resources that is needed, very soon, you know, people will, you know, embrace it. And I suppose, again, like climate change, it's because, like in the UK, US, all the places like that, you cannot just go to pharmacy and say, can I have this antibiotics or that antibiotics? They look at you and think, are you okay?
Okay.
Whereas in low and medium income countries, you don't even need to go to a pharmacy. Your supermarket.
A supermarket even.
Yes, they'll sell it to you. Your somebody next door that works in whatever, we give you some. In your healthcare center, right? They'll prescribe it to you, for you.
Yeah.
You know? And that is where the danger is, because when they prescribe in good faith, but when you leave that hospital or center, what you do next is now up to you. And usually, healthcare professionals, healthcare givers, they are not aware of what happens next. You know, like I said before, you may go away and buy what you can afford.
Yeah.
Even when you can afford it, it says four times a day, you are thinking, oh God, I forgot. We all forget anyway. But then, because the impact and the consequences are not usually highlighted and stressed, you can take it for granted that you can skip it for a day or so and just pick up where you stopped. Whereas it doesn't work like that.
Exactly. It's quite precise, isn't it? The way that it enters and acts.
Exactly, yeah.
Precision and timing, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Because at a point in time, the concentration will go down in your blood system, and then that's when you need your blood next dose to bring that up. But if you let it there, and next dose, and next dose, and next dose, you know, that's a different story. It's a different story entirely.
Yeah. It's a fascinating subject for sure. And it's also fascinating how this subject is, I can't think of the word, this subject is then lifted up and carried on such a platform as your Zenith Global Health.
Yeah,
it makes me realise the level of importance of this to highlight and to open up the conversations and get people curious, and also I think probably, am I right to say, to perhaps you could have somebody that would be listening to this conversation and be thinking, well, actually, this is something I've been working on and I've got something to say. And it's a platform for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And the good thing about our platform, our organization, is the fact that we don't just address ourselves to healthcare professionals. We are open up to community society organizations. We are open up to NGOs. We are open to lay people to come. So they can come and learn. They can share their experiences. In Ghana, for instance, one of the speakers talking about access and equity was saying how her grandson needed heart surgery.
Yeah.
And we know for a fact that heart surgeons are not only scarce in low middle income countries, but the cost is phenomenal. You know. So she shared that she was emotional and she was happy about the fact that these issues are being addressed, the issue of equity, the issue of healthcare financing, the issue of collaboration and partnership. And in there, we had another organization that facilitates surgery for children with cardiac defects. So we were able to say, oh, okay, you're doing this. We have some people in our network who are doing this. And can we bring you together? See, maybe they can even do, you know, like a clinical mission or maybe make a donation or, you know, support you in a way to do more since you are doing this already.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, like you said, is that anybody listening, watching or thinking that actually I've been thinking about this, I've been working on this, I didn't know it's at this level. I just thought it's something that I need to address in my department or in my institution. Yes, please come on board. We're always happy. We're always looking for people to collaborate with and support and to signpost and partner.
Absolutely fantastic and innovative people. It doesn't have to be medical related, does it? Because health has so many different branches, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Maintain, raise the bar.
Yes,
yeah?
Yes.
Because there are a few different people that I chat with, but they are about health. Female health, for example. Female sanitation health is massively important because the implications of women not being able to access products and healthcare causes immense problems, doesn't it, with the health?
Yeah.
Infections and...
Yeah, and self-esteem, you know. Yeah.
So, the mental health, physical and the mental health.
Exactly, yeah. So, and it's interesting how something that we would think as simple as not having access to sanitary products, we have all of those effects on people, you know. And that's another good thing these days about health, education, awareness. People are beginning to join the dots and make a link between things that we used to take for granted and the impact on our health and self-esteem and well-being and our family, you know, because if we have a daughter, for instance, who couldn't go to school, as parents, we begin to feel bad. We think we failed them, right? It may be a situation where people can even use money that's supposed to be for food just to make this girl, you know, feel good, continue her education. And the same thing with boys as well. They have their own issues as well. So, I mean, we have people who support young people in general, you know, on education and support for different things.
Yeah.
You know, like the guy who was the host for our summit is a youth leader. And he was so fantastic. Everybody was, you know, happy with him and everything. And he was, in fact, he sent me a message yesterday. And we were proud that we were able to give him that opportunity as well. Yeah.
So people that are perhaps listening to us talking about these, I think, very important subjects, they could be thinking, do you know what, I'm already onto something. And so, again, this is how... Dennis Global Health Awards and their summit every year help to highlight people's activities. Yeah.
Yeah, so we operate in two formats. Like at the summit, like I said, we have, because it's hybrid, if people cannot make it to London, for instance, they can join us virtually. Yeah. We have speakers, virtual speakers as well. So, and, you know, we connect that and we have in-house speakers as well. As well as audience. So it gives opportunity to talk, to share, to contribute, to learn,
yeah,
even when people can't make it to London.
That's fascinating.
Yes. And the good thing is, even these days, we are doing skills, simulation, demonstration virtually. So the opportunity is endless.
Isn't it, John?
Yes.
We've come to the end of quarter two. I don't know how that happened so quickly, but it did. We're going to take a short commercial break now.
Robert Floyd.
Quickly, I would like to focus on the London Awards. So you've already mentioned how it becomes possible for people to participate without actually being there. We'll talk about that in a moment. So, short break,
and we'll come back and we're going to talk a bit more.
Okay, alright then, see you in a bit.
Do you ever find yourself needing more absorbency and the protective product you are wearing sometimes just isn't enough? Allow us to introduce you to Gentle Bloom High Absorbency Pull-Up Pants, tailored for your comfort and wellness. Designed with your needs in mind, these pants feature an elastic waistband that contours to your body for the perfect fit. They also offer a natural underwear-like finish for discreet wearability. They are soft and easy on the skin thanks to their breathable fabric and high cotton content. The pants absorb liquid quickly and provide outstanding comfort with their extra dry system, complemented by wetness indicators and a 3D leak prevention channel. Leave your worries behind with the advanced odor protection, neutralizing odor for up to 9 hours. Tailored for light to moderate levels of incontinence, these pants enable you to stay active and mobile. Choose the right product for your needs and set the stage for a happier, more active lifestyle with Gentle Bloom High Absorbency Pull-Up Pants.
The Female Solution, global radio TV show, invites you to an invigorating, empowering, interactive conversation with our team of hosts. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Gathering of the Griots with Asada. Wednesday, Repairing Family Relationships with Naima and co-host Kareem Khamis. Thursday, Veggie Brunch Live with Angela. Friday, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturday, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Global Talk with Zanna. Second Saturday, Walk in Your Divine Authority with Mama Joy. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. Fourth Saturday, be a judge on the virtual Teens, Tweens, and Tots Talent Contest. And fifth Saturday, join us on location as we conversate at the Elevate Cafe, owner Jackie Wilson. Sunday, join us 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Go to thefemalesolution.com to join us on our video or audio live streaming platform. Listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in on the Blog Talk Radio Network 515-605-9325. Or call in and comment on the on-air radio network, 727-731-5192. We want to hear from you.
You enjoy me as well. It's amazing.
Wonderful. And I'm
short video, going to take a look at that. So this will show us the date for London, the Global Health Summit on the Friday, 27th of September. All this information people will be able to find on your website. LinkedIn, what was the other one?
Yes, they can bring their products.
the opportunity for exhibition. Book this, the opportunity for exhibition. And yeah, so the second day, the evening, is an informal setting. So coming up to the award ceremony, like now, we've had nominations from across the world. In 1 week, in exactly 1 week, our judges will start working on the nominations to shortlist, and the shortlisted candidates will then be invited to the awards evening, where we will announce the winners. It's a ticketed event, and details are on our website as well. Now, the awards are in three tiers, if you like. So we have the lifetime achievement, which is somebody, it's peer nomination. So it'd be somebody who's been in health and social care for a while. They've got impact globally. We can talk about them, either in their specialty or generally. And people say, oh yeah, I read this textbook. Oh yeah, he studies what we are using in this institution. Yeah, he has a method that we've been using for 10 years. Yeah. So people like that, they qualify for the lifetime achievement nomination. The final decision lies with our advisory board. Then we have the special recognition, which is similar to lifetime achievement, but maybe not as long as people that will qualify for lifetime achievement. Then we have all the categories that we showed earlier, and we try to cover all the areas as much as possible. Last year, we introduced the allies in healthcare category, because we realized that, as you said earlier, we cannot do it alone as healthcare professionals in health and social care. We have people who are not connected with health, but they are doing great things in the community to support, to help, like the ones that won last year. They support people who had cancer to connect digitally. They give them SIM cards. They give opportunity for them to learn using the computer. They, you know, different things like that, so that they are not lonely or be overlooked because they cannot access this app. As you know, everything is technology these days. Mm. Or they are alone in their house because they cannot make phone calls, because we all know that, you know, non-communicable diseases, it's a long-term thing, and it affects people in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think the founder, had cancer, got well, you know, so he just felt like, I think from his experience and from talking to people, he felt this would be good. Yeah. So people like that, we realize that we need to acknowledge and showcase what they do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have about, I think, 13 categories, which, you know, covers almost everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if somebody knew of a company or an individual or a small community or whatever, and they thought, listening to us talking, do you know what? I know somebody who's doing something amazing. They could go to the Zenith Global Health Awards website. They can locate the nominations categories.
Yes.
And if they weren't sure, they could message you and say, look, I want to nominate this, but I'm not sure which category, and you would be able to advise.
Yeah, we get that all the time. There's on our website, there's a contact us page.
Yeah.
Where you can go, send an email, and a member of the team will pick it up and answer you. We endeavor to answer within 24 hours, if possible, maybe 48 at the most. So, yeah, so we are welcome. I mean, you're welcome to send your inquiries. Sometimes people ask about, especially nomination, I think there's an answer that says 300 words or so. And we know that to actually put in something tangible, you need more than 300 words. But that's all we can allow on the website, the way it's configured.
Yeah.
So people say, what do I do? So we sometimes tell them, look, you can do an attachment, you can put a link, maybe you've done something that you put somewhere, put a link to it. We put all of those together and give them to our judges. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please feel free to contact us.
Absolutely brilliant. And so, just to clarify, it's not about the number of nominations, it's about the quality of the nomination itself.
Yes, thank you. Because sometimes we get like, you know, and I don't blame them. As we go to different places, as we go in year and year, as we have people coming on board, they give us insight to what happens with other awards platforms. For some awards platform, they determine the winner by vote. We don't do voting. We do it by merit.
Yeah.
Some people even charge for you to nominate. We don't charge, because for us it's about showcasing, acknowledging and celebrating. Okay? And we want as many people as possible that are doing great things to be able to come forward and be part of it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's the number of nominations that you have with some platforms. So that's why, you know, we get overwhelmed. And so we always say that, look, you can nominate yourself for maybe two categories or so, but it's only one nomination. For instance, I can do excellence in nursing and midwifery and do technology, because those two are my areas, they cross. That's fine. But I don't need 20 people to nominate me for excellence in nursing and midwifery, 50 to nominate you for, no. Actually, it disqualifies.
Yeah.
And we try to, when we see that, we try to, because in the form, there is your email, nominator's email number. We try to send emails to them and say, look, this is the policy. And then self-nomination is allowed as well. We encourage self-nomination, because sometimes we know it's going to be on merit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Please announce yourself.
If, for example, I was, or I have created a charity, and I wanted to shout about it, I could nominate myself.
Yes, you can nominate yourself. Yes, self-nomination is allowed. Yes.
I haven't created anything, by the way, but
I know. I've nominated today, and who knows what will happen tomorrow?
Exactly. Who knows? Anybody that's listening to us talking here, if you've created something that you're passionate about, however new, put a nomination in for yourself.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be coming from somebody else. I'm right, aren't I?
Yes.
If somebody else knows about a person's innovative creation, then nominate that person and say as much as you can about it.
Exactly. And the other thing is we ask for more information. If you are nominated or you nominate yourself and we see that, okay, what you're doing is great, but you haven't really given us enough. Before we pass it on to the judges, to give everybody a fair chance, the coordinator or somebody from the team will send an email and say, please, can you tell us more about what you've done? Can you add maybe a link or testimonial or project or anything that you've done to support your nomination? Because sometimes we find, because our judges will look at everything. They'll find you on social media. They'll find you in a research page. They'll find you different places. They'll look to make sure what you've done is what you've done, you know. And if you've done something, you haven't put it there. And the other reason we ask that is that sometimes people may be nominated and there's not enough information. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
If somebody is nominated for excellence in nursing and midwifery, and they've done projects on maternal and childhood, they've done projects on workforce, they've supported community care workers, they've supported this and that, right? I'm nominated for excellence in nursing and midwifery. Somebody puts half a paragraph there. maybe it's amazing, wonderful, excellence, get somewhere with staff, puncture, is highly skilled, da-da-da-da, end of story. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's no-brainer who's going to win that category.
Yeah.
But because we don't know Mary, but if it talks about my work in global health, my work with transforming health in Africa, my work with systems, my work with workforce development, service improvement, you know. Yeah. So in order to, you know, mitigate that, we'll send an email to Mary. And then she can tell us about these things that she's done. And then we pass it on to the judges. But sometimes we don't even hear back, or they even put another half a page. I'm just saying this to encourage people and to give an idea the importance of actually putting on paper things that you have done. This is not the time to feel shy or think you don't want to be proud. Please be proud. We want you to be proud.
Be proud.
Yes.
Be proud, shout. Got to tell the world, otherwise you can't help the world, can you?
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic, brilliant. I want to talk a little bit more about nominations, because we haven't got much time left, have we? When do nominations close? I can't remember.
Yeah, so nomination closes on the 14th of July, so it's about a week. Yeah, it's Monday.
Next Sunday,
that is?
Well, next Sunday, I think.
Next Sunday, yeah. So nomination closes next Sunday at midnight. So we've got,
Who's midnight there? UK midnight?
Do you hear me?
All the midnights.
Yeah, hold on, we'll call on you next after the commercial.
Oh, what I'm saying, in fact, is that your nominations will still be valid on Monday. So that's why it's all the midnight.
Your midnight.
Yeah. All the global midnight.
All the global midnight. So we've got billions of midnight. Make sure you get your nomination thing, guys.
So
it's a fantastic opportunity
now. The links are everywhere. The links are on our LinkedIn, the links are on Twitter, X, via the website, and everywhere you have at a glance that one page that will tell you all the categories. And when you go to the website, you click on a category, it will tell you what we are looking for and how you can qualify. So
how fantastic, how fantastic. Right, in quarter four, because we haven't talked about sponsorship.
Oh, yes.
I think that's brilliant, though, because you must have sponsors already. Do you still look for more, or do you still...
We always look for more, because my social enterprise, so... we're very grateful for our sponsors and partners and nominees, because when they come, they bring their friends and family, they buy the tickets, and it helps us to offset, you know, some of the costs towards the event. Because what we do is we make it as grand as possible, because we are celebrating excellence. So it's in a five-star hotel, it's a four-course meal, we have drinks reception, we have entertainment, saxophonists, you know, different things to make it enjoyable and you know, near Oscar enough.
Absolutely, of course. Can't wait for the red carpet. So, this is one question I wasn't really sure of. So, because we have the annual Africa Awards, which will be a different country each year. And every year we have the London Award, which is every year always in London. Now, could you have an African project, but you want to highlight it at London? Can you do that?
Oh, yes, we can do that. That's why we are global.
So you don't have to wait for the next Africa one?
No, we don't have to. For instance, like you said, I've been all over recently. So after one of our headline partners was from Morocco, right? And after I came back from Geneva, I was invited to Egypt. And I've been invited back to Morocco, Rabat this time, and then South Africa. Now, in effect, in any of those places, we can hold either event. We've been invited to the UAE, so it's going to happen there at a future date, which will be announced and, you know, share the details, everything on our website. Yeah, so it could happen anywhere. Any of them could happen anywhere. Yeah.
So then it's global. So global means anywhere. You could be anywhere in the USA. Be running a mission in the Latin America. You could be a company within Asia, India, Malaysia, wherever.
Yeah, we have partners in China. We'll be working with some institution in Nicaragua. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Truly global. Absolutely brilliant. I'm loving this. I have to say, I'm so excited about your company. From the moment I spotted it, oh, it's this. I loved it ever since. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and it is in constant growth, isn't it? Constant growth. So you're getting bigger and bigger, and your community, if you like, is getting even more worldwide.
Yes.
Which means that your audience is constantly increasing.
Yes, it is increasing. And the good thing is that when people come, they look and they see the diversity. And I think that is, if we were in business, we'll say our unique selling point. That is something that is unique to us. That is something that draws people to us because they know that they can be there and feel at home. Last year, somebody said, I don't know, I can network with the world under one roof. That's
how
diverse our audience. And they came from South Africa, I think. And some came from UAE. From North Africa, from US, from Europe, and across the UK as well. So yes, it's growing, it's diverse, and we are very happy because that is the mission, to bridge the global South, global North divide, and see that it's possible for us to work together to solve, you know, public global health.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? It's an incredible subject because, and this is the other thing, it's not something that's just subject to business and companies needing growth. It's something that involves everybody, because you may not be creating a system, but you may be actually needing something.
Yes.
So you may be just a member of the public and come across Venice Global and miraculously become like that guy who created the system for cancer patients, you could say, that's me, I need to connect with this because I'm desperate for help.
Yeah, definitely. And they're the only organization in the world, by the way, so they're a good organization to partner and connect with, and they're looking to expand beyond UK as well. Because what they are doing is fantastic. We have somebody else in our network. She lives in the UK, and she supports people, especially women, when they go for their treatment, scans, everything, support them with childcare, support them with counseling, support them with the mammogram and things like that, you know. So there's connection and correlation in what we do. And it's important, yes, for people to be aware that these services are available.
Brilliant. Awareness is so important. Huge.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is all about. It's to benefit people globally.
Yes.
Brilliant. We are going to go into a commercial break. We promised our audience to show a wonderful glimpse into the London event. So when we've gone through the commercials, we're going to be entering quarter four, which is the last quarter. It's gone really fast. We're going to, so please, audience, look forward to this little video. I absolutely love it. And you'll be wanting to buy a ticket, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about sponsorship. We're going to talk about buying tickets and so forth. Okay?
Okay.
So, see you in a moment.
See you. Thank you.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating, empowering, interactive conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesday, Gathering of the Griots with Asada. Wednesday, Repairing Family Relationships with Naima and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursday, Veggie Brunch Live with Angela. Friday, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturday, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Global Talk with Zanna. Second Saturday, Walk in Your Divine Authority with Mama Joy. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. Fourth Saturday, be a judge on the virtual Teens, Tweens, and Tots Talent Contest. And fifth Saturday, join us on location as we conversate at the Elevate Cafe under Jackie Brooks. Sunday, join us 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Bianca. Go to thefemalesolution.com to join us on our video or audio live streaming platform. Listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in on the Blog Talk Radio Network, 515-605-9325, or call in and comment on the on-air radio network, 727-731-5192. We want to hear from you.
Welcome to Venezuela Hills, Arles. Tonight is a special night. We nurse the nations back to health. I want you all to give yourselves a round of applause, please.
Caller 773-798. Hold on, coming to you after the break.
Machine training is one thing which has been my passion from the very beginning, because that is the way you can change other people's lives. I'm honored to be here.
To this inspiring night, full of energy, full of joy.
So my love. It's very important that we transfer our skills to the next generation. It's been inspirational. It's been fantastic. The atmosphere is mind-blowing. The energy, the fire, everything, the happiness, the joy. You can see everybody is celebrating together, and that's how it should be, really.
I've won the Rainbow Star Award, which is really exciting.
Understand that I can actually come from a place like Ghana, to come to the UK, to come and participate in this, to be recognized and make a difference. It's really inspiring for me.
The balance in this show helps you. The type of work that we're doing, and you should go ahead and give you that energy.
This is just a wonderful evening. The diversity of the evening, I think, is very, very important. It's just been interesting to see how innovative medicine have changed the paradigm of medicine, right?
That's recognition for my work,
but also work of a number of colleagues who have contributed to spreading the surgical teaching, not only in this country, but abroad.
Thank you, Sunny Cal, for this, and thank you for publicizing our work, and hope we can do more for our population.
I am delighted to have received the awards from Zenith Global Healthcare today.
It's a very nice event today, and I'm very happy to witness today.
Mary, thank you. You are absolutely awesome. I'm looking forward to Ghana. I'm looking forward to Senegal. All over the world. This has to be shown everywhere. You are absolutely amazing. Well done, and thank you for the invitation.
Oh, welcome back,
everyone. Oh, wow.
I love happiness.
It's strange when you watch it back because, I mean, the atmosphere and the way things go on the evening is usually like, I don't even know what's happening. Each time I watch it back, I have different feelings, different, I don't know, it's just amazing. Yeah. Great. Even if
Fantastic. We have, what I'm going to do now, I just wanted this opportunity in this last quarter now. It's going really fast, isn't it? You might need an extra hour. But anyway, we just need this half hour to clarify everything. So, we talked about, so we really need to focus on London. So end of September, so that's the summit day on the 25th of September. Really important for people to get to that.
Yeah.
Then on the Saturday in the evening on the 28th is the awards event, which is going to be fantastic. Everybody needs to come to that.
Yes, yes.
Nominations. Absolutely, yes. We've got one whole week. Get those nominations in. You need as much information as possible, and that means people can include links, testimonials, etc. Okay, so please get your nominations in. It's a massive opportunity,
773,
if you're nominated, to be seen globally. I want to also just quickly clarify sponsorship so that people know the importance of that for them.
Callers on the on-air line.
Yes. So, like I said, we are a social enterprise, so we appreciate sponsorship, donations, which can be done, you know, through requests on our website, they contact me, or even direct messages on our social media. We've had that before when people will send us a direct message and say, how can I support this wonderful thing that you're doing? And it varies, and with different amazing value propositions that is relevant, it can be tailor-made to the organization's requests and things like that. You may say, okay, since I'm not going to be there, so I don't need an exhibition table. So we give you other things like visibility on our website, you know, on every flyer, every brochure, backdrop. There are different things. And for those who will be present, we also, you know, depending on the level of commitment, you can have, you know, different things, you know, attached to it, negotiable, like I said, depending on the need of the organization. And we've had individuals who would just say, you know what, I just want to sponsor 5 people to attend. I just want you to give this to, you know, 4 maybe nurses who would have wanted to be here or couldn't be here. We have somebody who sent me a message today and said, look, we've, you know, put something together for some people in our network so they can attend. And this is how much, how many of them can attend, you know. So there are different ways that you can support. And the sponsorship, they are in, you know, different levels as well. We have platinum, gold, silver, exhibition only, advertisement only, and, of course, support in different ways.
And a chance to be up on stage in front
yes.
of the audience.
Yes. So the other thing we do as well is we can brand your sponsorship to a category. For instance,
yes.
if you're a tech company or digital company and you want to showcase your organization, your product, what you do, we can brand it to that category. So you get on stage, you present a category, you talk about your organization, you do a call to action. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
And you can also be a speaker, depending on, you know, what, you know, your area and your focus is. You can be, there's opportunity for our sponsors to be part of the panel as well.
Ah, fantastic. Brilliant. So all this information, get to the website and send your emails in if you need to, you know, to be more tailored to your needs, etc. Mary, we have got callers on the line. And
oh, wow.
I know. And what I want to do is, if possible, invite the wonderful Naima into... female solution show. So Naima, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Yes, yes, fantastic show. We've got comments. I've sent, because I of course recently traveled to a global peace conference and met many people throughout the world, and so they're all on my WhatsApp list, so I'm sending them all out the links and so forth. So I'm getting some comments from the WhatsApp people. I'm trying to figure out how to you know, transfer it to the screen here so you can see, but we've got you know, of course, a number of people who are from Ghana, who are, you know, the yay, you know, really enjoying the show. And I know we've got some listeners on our on-air radio network line. And on our Blog Talk radio line. And, of course, we want anyone who is listening and wants to call in, or if you're watching and wants to call in.
Well, yes,
we want your comments. I think this is a fantastic event that I'm hoping really helps people address some major issues that, you know, we all worry about. And if I can pull up a few of the WhatsApp comments. And, you know, the exciting thing about this is that people, I mean, everything is just a plane ride away. So you can be anywhere in the world and decide to come to this global health conference, because the subjects, the issues that we face, you know, everybody is going through the same challenges. And
yes.
so if we are able to help them to find healing, that will be phenomenal. But of course, I did want to open the microphone for one of our guests. Minister Plump, are you still with us? We can unmute. And in the meantime, while he's unmuting, let me unmute the mic for 773-798. We are live on the female solution. I think loud, please. It sounds like you're in a crowded location. So amplify your voice. You're on Global Talk with Santa. Go right ahead. Are you able to speak a little louder? We're going to have to wait until they can get to a quieter place. And, yes. No Angelina, and she's a friend that I met from... what country was it from? I believe she is, Lesotho.
Okay.
Yes, Noangelina Jacinta. She's a principal of the Morrissey Community High School in Lesotho, if watching, and certainly says she's really enjoying the show. And, you know, there are people who are wanting to know how do they bring this conference to their city in whatever country they're in. What is that process like to do that? Do they need to call you, or you know, what qualifications do they need to have? Do they need to have the location already? You know, what do they need to have in order to bring the conference to their city?
Okay, really? So it happens in two ways. We've had a bid in the past. I won't mention between which country and which country, but fortunately we've been able to go to both countries now. So we've had a bid in the past, but the most important thing is for the government, like the Ministry of Health, the WHO, in that city or that country to be receptive, right? Because we want, they spearhead most of these things, so their input is important. So if you have the capacity, you can support us with especially the sponsorship facilitate, because you know we'll be coming to somewhere that we are not really familiar with. We are fortunate some of our network will come with us, they will support us. But in order to deliver it at the level for which we want, we'll need that support from where we're going as well. So once they've been accepted, we have advisory board, I said that before. So you can submit your interest, the city, your role, and how we can collaborate or be our headline partner. Because it's about collaboration and partnership, then our advisory board will look at it. We have meetings with you. We all share our vision and what we expect, what you expect, and then, you know, we take it from there. So it's not difficult, really. It's just to have a nurturing environment where we can have successful summits and the awards. Yeah.
Well, that is fantastic. I can definitely see a need, and let's see, we've got a comment from Deborah, who's saying, from our third Saturday host who handles all our travel, so if we have people wanting to attend a global conference, she can help them out with travel. She says, no matter what our language, we all have the same mental, physical, and spiritual issues and could benefit from the same solutions. Global is the answer. Love the show.
Yes.
Thank you, Deborah.
Yes.
Yes. So that also brings me to a question. Do you find that there are some issues that are more prevalent in certain countries? I know that there are places where people are still maybe battling issues, say, you know, there's a things like, I don't know, malaria that might be prevalent in certain areas, or was the other that outbreak somewhere, swine flu that broke out somewhere.
Yeah.
So do you find that there are still like epidemics in certain areas of the world that could possibly, you know, affect global travel? People are afraid to go certain places because they might get, you know, infected by something. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, so that was, or is the one of our focus, the border porosity and how we can strengthen that. And thankfully, most of these pandemic situations have reduced drastically. The issue is that different things then spring up all the time. And that is where the preparedness comes in. So if a country or continent or region is prepared, then we have the knowledge to handle these things before it becomes, you know, a global public health problem. Now, in everywhere that we go, we always work with the Department of Health. both here in the UK and whichever country we are going or the region. A, to see what is endemic, because that is important, and to see if there's any incidence. And yeah, so that will help us prepare, number one. Number two, it may inform us that maybe that is not an area to go at the moment. In some areas, for instance, you have to have your yellow fever vaccination before you can travel to the, you know, to the destination. Some areas with malaria, I can say that, you know, we've overcome that to a larger extent. And again, it's about prevention, it's about being aware, because we may not know that even that in some areas where it's not pronounced, it may be endemic and we don't know. So it's about being prepared, it's about being aware. Like, I was looking at one particular place, and what we were looking at from the information from the Department of Health is, okay, if anybody falls ill, what is the closest thing, what is available, what is not available. Mm. So that's how we try to overcome that. We look at what is going on in each region, and then we make informed decisions. And when people want to travel as well, we look at required vaccination, required prophylaxis, like malaria prophylaxis treatment, and all of that. Again, thankfully, waterborne diseases are reducing, and again, there's a way of preventing that with what we eat, what we drink, and usually our events are they are held in hotels and relatively safe areas.
Mm.
And if we're in traveling, we make sure that, like, if we want to do a good travel, a group travel, like sightseeing, we go to reputable company, and we use reputable transportation from the hotel to venue, or, you know, we make sure we put all of that in place so that our people can, you know, be safe and be reassured that, you know, they are well looked after in that sense.
Ah, well, that's good. That's good. I think that's maybe a lot of the concerns that people have as they travel to these kinds of things. But then, you know, something that's waterborne or airborne, you know, air doesn't really have a boundary. We might draw boundaries. Right. Okay, this is my country, this is your country. But air circulates all over the globe. So is there, you mentioned there a way to maybe curtail some of these things. Is there a way to limit the spread of airborne diseases because air has no boundary? And is there some kind of way that we can teach people to be more conscious of what they're doing that could put an illness out in the air so that everybody's affected by it? What kind of educational things can we do for that?
Yeah, so that is consciousness, actually. We have to drum that consciousness into people's mind that if you do this, you're not only exposing yourself, because the thing is, like you rightly said, when we throw germs into the air, some of them come back to us. It's not just about the people around or the people who will be affected. Some of them come back to us. But when we do, you know, actions, you know, the little things that we've been taught, you sneeze in an handkerchief, or, you know, you even take care of your health. You have a cough that is lasting more than 3 days. You don't just see it as a cough. Make sure it's more than a cough, for instance. And, you know, some people still wear masks. And the other thing is, there's a certain culture that when I see them in Oxford Street and places like that in masks, pre-COVID now, I always look at them and think, why are they in masks? But it's part of their culture. It was during COVID now that I realized that, oh, it's part of their culture. When they're out and about, they wear masks. You know, so again, that is, you know, consciousness, being aware of simple steps to take. And also, I think sometimes you can be too polite or afraid. The other day we were coming at the tram and this guy was just, don't care, don't know. And everybody was looking at each other like, who's going to be the first to get up and leave this garage?
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Smoking in public places, the air pollution. And when I went to China, I noticed that, like you mentioned, most people wore masks because the pollution is so bad.
Mm-hmm. They can politely say, are you okay? Our people here, they know, they master that one.
Are you okay? If some people
okay?
get it.
And do you want a tissue? Do you want... I hear that gentlemen in those days, they carry handkerchiefs to give ladies, well, you know, they...
That might be a thing to do when people sneeze or cough, you know,
And, you know, because... Like I said, we look after ourselves as much as looking after each other. And if people are aware, the simple fact that when you do that, you inhale back some of these germs and they multiply, then, you know, maybe that will trigger their consciousness and, you know, be more proactive about prevention. And then we get, you know, less airborne diseases.
Yeah. Well, I know we've got to go, and we want to make sure we remind people of how they can get involved in this upcoming global health conference, and even contact you if they want you to bring this to there.
Yeah. So the contact information is on the website. Again, we are on. Instagram Zenith Global Health, LinkedIn Zenith Global Health, Facebook, you know, and X. X is at L at Connor Ward, but it will come up as Zenith Global Health as well. You can DM, you can send email. I think there's a phone number there as well, you know, but I think DM email will be quicker because, you know, we may not be able to take the call at the time you're calling, and especially because of the difference in time zone and everything like that. So, to participate in the summit, to nominate for the awards, because, like I said, it's global. We accept nomination from all over the world. And to join us at the awards evening, you see how glitzy and glamorous and happy and, you know, how everybody is. Just send a message. You're all welcome. Together, we can make a difference in the world and turn it into not the way it is, but the way it should be.
You have been absolutely fantastic. Phenomenal. It's been fantastic. It's been fun. It's been educational. It's been informative. And it's been I can't think of the word now, completely left me, but what I want to say is for everybody, get involved.
Yes.
Get involved. You're always active on social media. If you can come to the event in London, book a ticket and come.
Yes.
Come to the awards, come to the summit, come to both.
Yes.
If you have a way to become further involved, nominations or a sponsorship, get in touch and discuss it. If you need answers. If you have been listening and watching on this show, and perhaps you wanted a chance to say something, ask a question, get in touch via the website or via any of your social media platforms, correct?
Yes. And it's a good opportunity as well to meet the policymakers because, like I said, we've been fortunate to have the ministers, policymakers, director of this and that, you know, within our network. And they do come to support. And they are, you know, open to questions, to partnership, to collaboration, you know, because they believe in what we are doing globally. Yes.
absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Mary, so much.
And she thanks you. Your
audience is important. You're amazing, too. And anything else to add before we go? Because we're literally at the end of the show now.
I know. I just want to say massive thanks to everyone that is watching, listening, and also to Naima and the team, and to you, Zana. I remember when we started talking about it, it's a big, busy time for us, but we just thought, I saw your message yesterday that it's going to be amazing, you know, be, you know, supporting, encouraging each other. So thank you so much. And I look forward to an update, actually. I love it so much. And yeah, we welcome you to join us and look out for more updates, because we're going to be having like a membership, networking membership, where people can actually meet and collaborate specifically for whatever they want to do. Yeah, we're working on that. That should be live very soon.
Superb. Yeah. It's been wonderful.
So I need to talk about next year at Cape Verde, the island.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I'm
going to you already. I can't believe it.
We welcome you.
Yeah,
I will see you in London for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Not long now.
Can't wait. Absolutely brilliant. It's been wonderful. Welcome to Venice Verde. And we're going to say goodbye, and we're going to play out on that last video again, because I love it so much.
Thank you,
Mary, and goodbye.
Thank you. Speak soon. Bye-bye. Bye.
Welcome to Venice Verde Hill. Unless tonight is a special night. We nursed the nations back to health. I want you all to give yourselves a round of applause, please.
Nursing training is one thing which has been my passion from the very beginning, because that is the way you can change other people's lives. I'm honored to be here.
To look inspiring, nice, full of energy, full of joy.
For my little town. It's very important that we transfer our skills to the next generation.
He's been inspirational. He's been fantastic. The atmosphere is mind-blowing. The energy, the fire, everything, the happiness, the joy. You can see everybody is celebrated together, and that's how it should be, really. I have won the Rainbow Star Award, which is really exciting.
Understand that I can actually come from a place like Ghana to come to the UK, to come and practice lessons, to be recognized and make a difference. It's really inspiring for me.
Balance initials help you. The path is worse than what you're doing, and you should go ahead and give you that energy.
This is just a wonderful evening. The diversity of the evening, I think, is very, very important. It's just been interesting to see how innovative medicine has changed the paradigm of medicine, right?
That's recognition for my work, but also a work of a number of colleagues who have contributed to spreading the surgical teaching, and not only in this country, but abroad.
Thank you, Sonia Charles, for this, and thank you for publicizing our work, and hope we can do more for our population.
I was delighted to have received the awards from Zenith Global Healthcare today.
It's a very nice event today, and I'm very happy to witness today.
Mary, thank you. You are absolutely awesome. I'm looking forward to Ghana. I'm looking forward to Senegal. All that with the world. This has to be shown everywhere. You are absolutely amazing. Well done, and thank you for the invitation.
We've come to the end of our show today. If you missed any broadcast, go to our website for the audio and video archives at www.thefemalesolution.com. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family joining us from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India, zhanyeba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, zhongguyong. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, madad. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jere. Kenya, asante. Israel, to.
Dakota, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Kashakur, Saudi Arabia, and Palestine, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Alrighty, and whoops. Okay. All right, we are out. Yes, so let me shut this.